Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
Hey, Hub, I got a pretty simple question for you. Is Leonard Fournette still an elite NFL running back?
You know, Rob, he never was.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Breaking down the latest on the Bears and news from around the NFL.
When will the Bears give Allen Robinson his contract extension?
It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
He was among those in the Zoom press conference yesterday with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy trying. He was trying to get information, to understand things better, to help us know what's going on. But for the most part, pretty much everything kind of fell flat. I don't know what that was yesterday. Hub was a big part of it. And he is on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He at Pro Football Weekly and Shaw Media. Joins us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hello, Hub.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. I liked your angle. Going with, and what were you trying to sort of backdoor there with by asking Ryan Pace about why a team would look to trade a franchise quarterback?
Well, I think there's a couple things there. One, I was hoping he might give a sense of what he think the value could be. You know, one of his answers could be, well, if I could get three first round picks. I didn't expect him to come out and just bluntly tell us, but I thought maybe we could get some indication of what he thought the value was if the player was available. And then the flip side of that is that you also have to wonder if this guy, and either guy, any guy, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, pick another quarterback, if they are franchise quarterbacks, what are the reasons they're being dealt? And is that something that you want to bring into your organization, your franchise, and your locker room? So I was hoping, you know, that I could go at it from both directions and get something, you know, in one side or the other. But you don't get a lot of answers from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. It's funny because Matt tries. I mean, Nagy, he answers questions. He doesn't avoid subjects. He is very good at presenting what they want to be the image or the company line of this organization, but still they could tell us a little bit more about what they're thinking, and they just won't do it. And it's all wrapped up in this idea of not wanting to be at a competitive disadvantage by letting the other 31 teams know what they're thinking.
Part of the problem too, though, is it also indicates they might not have a clear direction. At least that's how the public persona is and the public impression. So you have knowledge more so than the average person consuming the Bears press conference. What were your takeaways from anything you can glean from either what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have said so far or what you're hearing in other places?
Well, you know, Leila, you're so right. And that's the ultimate frustration, because that is exactly the image it presents. That's why I don't know what the percentages are, but obviously a significant percentage of their fan base is not happy right now, this sense that they don't have a plan, and they do have a plan. That much I know. I know that they have a pecking order, if you will. They have ideas of you know, first, second, third, fourth choice at quarterback and everywhere else. I did think there was one piece in there at the end with Ryan that I thought may have tipped a little bit, or at least gave me, you know, what I hope is some insight. But he talked about they're expecting an unusual or an unprecedented number of players to hit the market in the next couple of weeks. And he's right. There's going to be a lot of salary cap cuts. And so my sense is that while they definitely have an idea and a direction and a plan, they're waiting to see what the whole shopping list looks like, because none of us know. I think we can predict what a lot of these cap cuts are going to be, but there's others that you just aren't sure. As you get closer to the deadline on these decisions, there'll be a flurry of them. And I think they're just waiting to make sure that they know what the full talent pool is before they start committing their salary cap dollars. I'm convinced that's the Allen Robinson problem, guys, because, you know, Ryan, the one thing he was close to unequivocal about was he said, Allen Robinson wants to be a Bear, and we want Allen Robinson to be a Bear. And that suggests that it's strictly about the money. But when we say it's strictly about the money, that doesn't mean that it's Robinson and his agent being unreasonable or the Bears being cheap. That means that they may not be sure, you know, where they're settling in this cap. And that's been my kind of back of my mind thought all along, because I still don't understand why this didn't get done last summer.
Why did they leave open the possibility of a Mitch Trubisky return? How does that help them to keep that viable?
Yeah, that's why I ended up writing my column about last night, because that's what I heard, you know, and I don't think that they were saying it's what they want. They weren't saying it was their first choice, but they certainly made it clear that it doesn't bother them, that it's a possibility, that it is a possibility. And I think the reason they're leaving it open, Dan, is because realistically, if you don't get one of these, quote, franchise quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, and you're not going to, because as I've been saying from day one, neither one of them is getting dealt. Those two teams would have to be crazy to make those deals. Now you've got more guys off the table in Matt Stafford and Carson Wentz. Don't know how they feel about Sam Darnold. But once you take Sam Darnold and Marcus Mariota and Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, you take those four. And I don't know how I do know how individual scouts feel about them, but I don't know how the Bears have them ranked on their board or where they'd put them. After those four, there's no better option than Mitch Trubisky. And it may be that they still think that Mitch is a better option than one, two, three, or four of those guys. And I couldn't argue with that. Derek Carr, to me, is the most interesting. I think he comes in here and you are immediately a playoff contender, because you don't give up as much. You fix a few other things, and he's a winning NFL quarterback. Mariota would be next on my list, but he did fail in Tennessee, not as miserably as other, you know, high picks have failed. But you know, you got questions. And then when you get to Darnold and Garoppolo, you know, why are these other teams moving on from them so quickly, when they invested what they did in them? So Mitch is not, we've talked about this, guys. When you go to the other 31 NFL markets and mention Mitch Trubisky, football fans and media don't freak out the way we do in Chicago. You know, he is still, because of Ryan Tannehill, as much as anything, he is still an interesting prospect in some circles.
But to me, the reason Darnold is being discussed is because they have the chance for that generational talent.
Layla, that's the only reason. If they're not sitting on the second pick, we wouldn't be having this conversation, you know. But everybody is always in love with the newest quarterback prospects. I mean, you look at what happens. They're always in the top five picks. And in spite of the fact that they overwhelmingly fail, you know, when you look at the quarterbacks taken in the top five, top 10 over the last 10 years, each year people still get goofy, you know. And I don't know. You know, I've been going back and studying some of the old scouting reports on these guys, and I read Sam Darnold's scouting report, and then I read these five kids this year who are all going to be first-round quarterbacks, and the only one who has a better scouting report coming out of school is Trevor Lawrence. You know, the others all have similar questions to Darnold. So if you got it wrong on Darnold and you're the Jets, why are you getting it right with Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields? I don't know, you know, but that's what makes this so tricky. And again, you know, listen, guys, I understand that Ryan Pace has done some good. He's done some bad. He doesn't really present himself well to his fan base through the media because he just doesn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, you know, he's like everybody else if he missed on Mitch Trubisky. It's not like he's bad and get rid of him. It's a really hard thing to do to find the right quarterback.
How do you envision Tom Herman now that we got a little bit more clarification and Mike Pettine's roles?
I think, you know, Matt gave very good answers about Mike Pettine yesterday, and he was very honest and open about it. He is here as a sounding board for Sean Desai. He's a guy with tremendous experience as a defensive coordinator, as an NFL head coach. At a point, grew up in the same school as Vic Fangio when they were working together in Baltimore before Vic became such a successful coordinator. He brings a lot, but he is here to assist and guide Sean Desai. I thought that was fairly clear. Herman is a bit more of a mystery to me, and I guess it's just, you know, Matt loves loading up, you know, on offensive creativity and offensive minds, and I'd love to be able to sit in those meetings and hear what the discourse is. Matt had an interesting, it may be semantics, but it was the way he put it when he said that he expects Mike Pettine to do the same thing for Sean Desai that he expects Tom Herman to do for us. Matt sees himself as the offensive head coach of the Chicago Bears. You really can't dispute that. And while he wants to be the head coach and has done a good job in a lot of areas and may eventually be a very successful head coach, and all head coaches, you know, start on one side of the ball or the other, I don't remember the last time I saw a head coach who was willing to so completely divorce himself from one side of the ball. Because 3 years later, in that visit yesterday, I heard Matt doing the same thing. He's now going to trust the defense to Sean Desai with an assist, you know, from Mike Pettine, and he's going to continue to focus on the offense. That's sure what it sounded like to me, and I think he just wants to hear what Tom Herman has to say.
You mentioned what inspired your column. After the Ryan Pace press conference, what I wrote about in large part is Pace's unique decision for someone in his position who is ostensibly in charge of running a sports franchise, a major professional sports franchise, to go out of his way to tell you how little decision-making power he has, where it's everybody, it's the whole building, everything is broadened, globalized, diffused, shared, everything is about collaboration. It's just he doubled down on this theme of, and he names all of the personnel department and all of the coaches, and it's all shared. And I'm sick of it. I like, at least somebody like John Elway, or, you know, will say, it's my team. I'm in charge. I make the decisions, right or wrong. And if they're bad, you can fire me. And if they're good, I get the credit. He's running a team in the passive voice in a way that I've never seen and don't really understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, Dan, because I, you know, some of that at least may be in how you hear it or what you're looking for. I think he and Nagy like to talk about why they keep accumulating coaches and all the wisdom they hope to glean from all of them. But I also think that it's been clear from day one that then Ryan makes final decisions, you know, and I think he's willing to own those decisions. So I don't know. That to me is more maybe just in how we're hearing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting all kinds of expert opinions, as long as you're able to, you know, then assimilate all that information and make the right choice. But I think what he's trying to do is impress us with how much work they're putting in and how they're listening to everybody. But at the end of the day, I've never really doubted that it's Pace making the final call.
I'm still on the quarterback comparison thing because I think we're just going to be in that space for a while. Ryan Fitzpatrick came to mind when we were talking about possible choices. I know he's 38. But do you think that he is a possibility, say, if Mitch Trubisky goes somewhere else?
I think he's a real possibility. Let's go back to the top and what Dan was talking about, which is, I'm sorry, maybe it was you who made the point. It sounds like they don't have a plan. They do have a plan.
We've all made the point.
Yeah, well, and I think the plan is they're hoping to find a longer range answer first. They know Fitzpatrick is there. They know he can still play. They know what he did in Miami last year. And I think once the younger quarterbacks settle, once it becomes clear that Watson and Wilson are not actually getting dealt, or if one of them does, then I think you start to move to those other options, because what Ryan Fitzpatrick becomes is competition for Nick Foles. You can't bring Fitzpatrick in and just say, now he's the starter over Nick Foles. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think they're hoping to avoid a competition between two older journeyman quarterbacks. So I think that Fitzpatrick is probably the fallback position, and a pretty good one, you know, if that's what they have to come to. If it's for 1 year and it's just all about what can we do to win as many games as we can this year, and we'll worry about the future down the road.
Where are you on Tyrod Taylor in this mix?
I like Tyrod Taylor a lot, Dan, but he's not a great fit. And that's why I asked Matt the question I did, you know, which was, can you tell us the three traits you look for most in a quarterback? It was interesting because his first one, where he really complimented Mitch, was he said, well, you know, you want a guy who's athletic, who can both throw and do things with his legs, and Mitch definitely can do that. That's almost a direct quote. I don't have it in front of me, but I know that's pretty much what he said. He said leadership skills, and Tyrod Taylor has been highly respected both in Buffalo and with the Chargers, and they raved, you know, Ryan and Matt all year about Mitch's leadership skills this offseason. But then he got to the third one, which is decision making. And Tyrod Taylor has had more success as a starting quarterback in the NFL than Mitch has. I don't know what their respective records are, but I know that he's never been, you know, faulted for that being an issue, not being able to read defenses. So I like him. But I still don't get a sense that he's the guy that I think, you know, what Matt clearly wants is a young, healthy Alex Smith. And that's a different style quarterback than a Tyrod Taylor or a Mitch Trubisky.
As long as it's not this Alex Smith, because this Alex Smith, the one I saw, is done. Well, done, toasty.
Dan, it looked that way, but let's not forget how long he'd been off the field, how far away from it he was, and that he was still working his way back into it. I think he's probably done from what we saw, but having gotten on the field, played some games, now with an entire off season, you just don't know, because this is kind of what I was just talking about. What separates all these guys at the end of the day is what's in their heads. It's not their arms. It's not their athletic abilities. But if we've learned nothing else, the most important thing about franchising a quarterback or finding a franchise quarterback is being able to read what he's thinking and to know, you know, that he has a feel for the game, because athletically these guys are not that far apart, and arm talent, they're not that far apart. And other than a Mahomes or a Favre, the physical part isn't what separates these guys. It's the mental part of it, and Smith has that. And so if he can, you know, take another step backward, I mean, we're talking about a guy who got on the field last year after 17 surgeries, you know, and so another year, he's only 36 years old. I know that sounds old for an NFL player, but I'd like to be 36 again. I know I could do a lot more then. So I don't know that I'd totally write him off yet. He may have one last hurrah in him. I'm not predicting it's going to be here in Chicago. And I don't know, because you're right. He looked terrible. But when you realize what it took just to get him on the field, and since he's committed, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like this summer.
Well, and besides the quarterback position, we are faced with some very real salary cap decisions that are coming up. Buster Skrine is obviously one of them. And then Hub, you've pointed out you expect something to happen there at tackle. So I'm still waiting to find out what's going on there, too.
Yeah, Layla, that is my ultimate frustration with the Chicago Bears and with the Ryan Pace regime and the talent evaluation. And, you know, I know everybody wants to focus on the quarterback, and I understand it, but they have consistently overvalued the offensive linemen that they have and refused to do anything about it. This was something else I worked on last week, and now I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe that in six drafts, Ryan Pace has drafted seven offensive linemen. He's never signed a you know, upper echelon starting offensive lineman in free agency. Of the seven offensive linemen he's drafted three higher than the fourth round, only four of them higher than the sixth round. You know, and that's in 6 years now, going on seven seasons. of course the offensive line isn't very good. They haven't put any talent in it. They haven't invested in it. And if they don't do that, then I'm not sure how much it's going to matter, you know, what they do at quarterback. And it's just coincidence that one of the best ways to create an instant $12 million in cap space is to release your two tackles, because there's a bunch of guys on the street you can sign for half what you're paying them who are going to be the same player. And so that's going to be, to me, very interesting to watch. Now, if they don't, if they say we're sticking, you know, Bobby Massey, I think, is gone, unfortunately, because, he's actually probably a little underrated as a right tackle. But after starting, I think it was 76 games out of 80 in five seasons, since the Bears gave him the contract, he's missed 14 of 32 starts. And to be just average and have that problem, you're not going to stick around. And my fear is that they release Massey and they hang on to Leno and they bring in some more journeymen. And that's not the way to fix this. This gets back to something else I said earlier when Ryan dropped that comment about unprecedented talent about to hit the market. I think they have a plan. I think they're just trying to prioritize it and know everybody who's available. And then, you know, they always move pretty quickly that first couple days of free agency. So I think there's stuff coming. And the cap isn't, Layla, I'm sorry, I'm getting long-winded here, but the cap part of it, it's not as bad as it looked. It's 180 now, not 176. There were some other adjustments. They're basically at the cap now, and they haven't made any moves yet. You extend Hicks and Fuller and release your two tackles, and suddenly you got $20-25 million in cap space. So that part of it they should be able to figure out.
Hub, appreciate it as always. Good try yesterday. I know it's a tough nut to crack when those guys get in front of a microphone, but we appreciate the time. Thank you.
We will know what's on their minds soon. Guys, take care. Everybody stay safe out
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, Hub.
That is Hub Arkish. And we had the texters are blowing up here. Twitter also got a chance to take some phone calls. If you have Bears thoughts, because we want to not neglect you, the Bears fan. 312-644-6767. What do you make of all this? And then shortly thereafter, do we have a delicious piece of sound for you if you're a particular kind of longtime scorehead? Maybe you thought you heard something yesterday that kind of reminded you of something. Well, we did too.
And you were correct.
And we did in real time in the Zoom chat, and I was almost not listening to what was being said because I was trying to not laugh. And we'll have some fun with that also coming up on The Score.
Start your day on The Score with Molly and Hall, live at 5. For Chicago. From Chicago. They're live and local, covering the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. Molly and Hall, delivering the sports stories that matter to Chicago. Mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
What did you say about collaboration?
I go back to exactly what you just said. It's the collaborative relationship that Matt and I have.
Again, the collaboration.
The collaborative relationship with our coaches is important.
I look at it, you know, one of our strengths we have in our building is collaboration, and that's amongst the staff, but it's also with the players and their input. And with Matt, Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, Flip, they all play the quarterback position. I think they all have a deep appreciation and respect for how critical that collaboration is with the quarterback. So
the Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Collaborative effort in this whole building. I know we use that word a lot.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
What did you say about collaboration?
Jordan, you're going to have me drinking hemlock here. I'm going to be pouring gasoline over my head, immolating myself if I got to sit through this. Ay. However it gets done, something is going to get done. And we learned yesterday that everything is on the table. We don't know what kind of table. Don't know if it's a surgical table. We don't know if it's a kitchen table. It could be a periodic table. I don't know what it is, but we know that everything's on it. Layla earlier speculated that it could be a time travel device, that they all get on the table and they hold everything that's on the table and they get it up to 88 miles an hour and off they go to better quarterbacking times for the Bears and back to the age of Sid Luckman. Apparently, because everybody thinks he was good.
Periodic table reminds me of the noble gases reference now.
Yes, metals on the left, noble gases, the inert gases, but are all on the right.
Wasn't that part of the letter that was sent? noble gases.
The letter to...
Was that part of the David Foster Wallace letter?
Yes. Yes. What that was like, what combination of something and noble gases is like somebody's huffing xenon, right? I'm not even sure what the effects are. He probably has studied that. But yeah, I don't know what kind of table it is. Everything's on it, including the return of Mitchell Trubisky, probably including the fact that it might just end up being Nick Foles. Watch me be right on that. Watch me when all is said and done and the music stops. Watch them say, you know what? Nick wasn't so bad, we just have to block it up. Because Nagy started to go there a little bit. If you were listening carefully, he led you down that path. And I told you I have a mind meld. I told you I speak Nagy sometimes. And when he started saying, yeah, we went back, there are a lot of things that didn't go right. He's talking about the blocking. He's talking about the fact that because the mobility wasn't there, they didn't block well enough. And if they could just figure out how to block it, old BDN is going to be dishing out passes.
Easy there. Two Chicagos. Don't forget that. Noble gases, by the way, are dense. That was the reference.
Okay, that makes sense. They are. They're inert.
Right.
They are non-reactive.
Freaking brilliant.
It's one bond, two bond, three bonds, four, three bonds, two bonds, one bond, no more.
If we were not labeled right? The nerd show before this episode, we will totally be the nerd show after this episode.
I'm not going to be naming atomic weights or doing titrations or balancing equations for you here, but I could. I think I could still balance a chemical equation and probably, I don't know if they even use factor label method anymore. But I was well schooled in factor label method.
Oh, so there was some science. Ted Phillips said everything in the previous press conference. Ted Phillips has been the most direct. He's had the most answers. And he also made it sound like everything is there except the quarterback. And if you look at it that way, that everything was there. Yeah, that they're just a quarterback away, essentially.
And winning enough games. They didn't do that either. But that's presuming Allen Robinson's still here.
But the point is, so then therefore you're right about the pace discussion. You're right about the idea being like, oh, everybody's going to make him better and things are going to be okay.
Here's John in Morton Grove on the score. Hello, John.
Good morning. I just wanted to echo what you were saying just now. I think the choice is, you can either make the Bears better or you can make the quarterback position better, but you can't do both at the same time. And I think because of that, if you're going to make the Bears better, you do end up back in Nick Foles and hopefully a much improved offensive line. I remember Russ, the guy on Sunday mornings with Danny Parkins on the You Better You Bet show. You know, at the worst point in the season, he was calling our line a bottom five offensive line in the league. I think we got some improvement later when they figured things out a little bit. But I think if you put a free agent and a high draft choice into the line, Foles will be able to play better.
Theoretically, it holds. It's logical. It makes sense that maybe everything they thought about Nick Foles could be realized if they have really good blocking. It's the getting there.
I'm a big believer in an offensive line is where you start your entire offensive scheme. I'm a big believer in that. Like, everything starts at the line to me. Everything starts at the line of scrimmage. However, that doesn't take away the fact that we've known Nick Foles to be a streaky quarterback, that he runs hot and cold a bit. They can trust his accuracy and his arm strength more. But they also still put Mitch Trubisky back in. Whenever they talk about I don't want to hear it discussed anymore, the 6-game losing streak. But that is the whole paintbrush that they use to describe the season. So they had to fix their own mistake. They had to correct the mistake that is now going to be the correction again. That's where we go back and forth with all
that's been the Bears theme. You make a mistake and then you spend time and effort and treasure fixing that same mistake over and over again, whether it's tight end or whether it's quarterback, whatever it's been. You're ideally drafting somebody and plugging that person in. Maybe they think they've done it at nickel corner. Maybe they think, okay, Kendall Vildor or Duke Shelley is just ready to be a starting nickel corner in the NFL. We saw enough. Maybe Sean Desai has been involved in that. Maybe Sean Desai said, yeah, I don't need screen here. I'm good with Vildor. That would be a success story because that's how it's supposed to work.
Biggest question for the defense for me is going to be how Eddie Jackson plays next season.
Yes. Does he not suck anymore?
That's it. Otherwise, I trust their defensive scouting. They've proven to be trustworthy in that area. Do you? I mean, you don't question their defensive scouting and their depth. I don't.
No, I think they've done, for the most part, a pretty nice job of finding a lot of guys, especially up front. And maybe that's been Jay Rogers, too, and now that he's gone. But the guys in their front seven rotation have all contributed, have all had moments, have all made big plays.
Go on, Roquan. I would like to see Jalen Johnson turn into, you know, keep going with the momentum he's had. And the only offensive player they named in any sort of positivity was Darnell Mooney, and we know how much they love A-Rob. That's what we were supposed to glean from that. But it's a big question mark all around.
The 11:45 thing comes your way next. Something happened on the show yesterday. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, but we had a guest unwittingly do a bit. We had a guest just sort of jump in with something, and I think I heard it right. I know the producers have listened back to it, and it's and you, if you're an attentive score listener, you heard it and you thought the same thing we did. So we're bringing that back, and we'll be the judge of it next on the Score.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score on radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
So it's easy for people to whine, hey, the goalies are too big, the equipment's too big, the net's too small. It doesn't seem to bother him.
That's Kevin Weeks, the former NHL goaltender of NHL Network and NHL.com, unwittingly giving us a fine Murph.
Hey, the goalies are too big. The equipment's too big. The net's too small.
And you and I just perk up. If anybody saw
big. Hey, Fred Huebner, the goalie's too big and the net's too small. What's going on?
It was so
hey,
good.
Hey, German Jerry, me, how do you...
And it was so funny because such you and I both... Dan has lost it. We both on Twitch perk up like what just happened.
I know.
We saw some Twitch comments come through. Text line blows up.
We're in the Zoom chat. I'm like, did Weeks just do Murph? Hey, let's get out of the goalies. They too big. Nobody can score anymore. What do you think, Jerome?
I'm sorry, it's Reggie. I must have gotten you confused. And after the Gillette, lose it.
Don't want to step on your parade or rain on your thunder.
Bust Murph's balls.
Tadahati Aguchi. Aguchi.
And so, here we are talking to, I think, one of the best NHL guests there is. And I completely agree with you, Dan, and Jay's brought it up too, that he's got to be a future front office guy.
Oh, he's going to run a team. Yeah.
Who does an amazing Murph?
Who just happens to do an amazing Mike Murphy. It's like learning that, you know, maybe Kevin Cheveldayoff is a great Grobstein. You know, we know who knows. But
the goalies are so big and good. I don't buy it. I don't think so. Ronnie from Roma is coming by bringing beefs.
The goalies are too big. The equipment's too big. The net's too small.
His go-to lampoon complaining NHL fan sounds like Murph.
And also you, when talking about the goalie equipment usage.
Well, and Ken Dryden, yeah, that was bringing him. He's not down with it. With the Ken Dryden, get off my lawn. These goalies are too big, too good. And actually, the Dryden piece is really, really good.
It was a good read. Yeah.
And talking about the way they're wearing their chest pads now.
Yes.
Because when they snap down into the butterfly, the loose chest pads then puff out and actually make them wider. in a way that probably shouldn't be legal when they should actually check to make sure, because these guys are wearing them low and it looks like they got a big beer belly, when in fact, if their chest pads are like that, when a guy who's 6'5 snaps into and locks out his butterfly, all of a sudden it pushes his jersey up and out to stop more pucks.
And the problem is you have to factor in for like equipment isn't unlimited and there's weight gain and loss and you can't exactly legislate that to a man
well,
that makes sense.
They do with the leg pads.
Right.
They're very careful about the size of the pads, the width of the pads and all that stuff. But I don't know.
the goalies, what's wrong with them? They're so big. They got to make them smaller. They should all be like Darren Pang, every 5'6", out there trying to kick at the puck, stack the pads like they used to do it.
Well, it's easy for people to whine.
The goalies are too big. The equipment's too big. The net's too small. It doesn't seem to bother him.
Transition is next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Rahimi. But now you can watch the show live on Twitch. Just search 670 The Score on twitch.tv or on the Twitch app. Check it out now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.